This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via Apple participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and time supply, see mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to Forever Bristol City Podcast. Well, it's proven to be quite an interesting end to the season because the final score at Ashton Gate last night against Blackburn Rovers, it was City 5, Star City 5, Blackburn Rovers 0. They were pretty appalling, but that doesn't alter the fact that you still have to put the ball in the back of the net, and City did that with aplomb. That was their first 5-0 win against the thrashing against Hull 2 years ago, last game of the season there. And it means we've now kept 5 clean sheets in the last 6 games. Yep. And we're number 2 in the form table. If you're going to be critical, you could say too little, too late. But I tweeted out last night on the final whistle, I think we're going to miss out on the playoffs by between 5 and 7 points. And it will just show that post-Christmas form, when we were maybe sidetracked by the cup, that's going to cost us dear. But nothing to complain about at all. A good all-round team performance, and we'll talk about individual players, I'm sure, as we go through the match action. I'm joined by Neil with me here in person, and online, Mark and Ian. Guys, I come to you first, Ian, and as I said, got plenty to talk about, so keep it at 30 seconds. Thoughts at 9:45 last night?
3 points, clean sheet, front foot attacking football. Exactly what it says on the tin. For that to happen, for a 5-0 win to happen, one team has to be pretty good and the other team has to be poor. That's just the way that large defeats come along. So I'm delighted with it. 5 clean sheets in the last 6. If we maintained our form, and I'm not suggesting we can for a minute, but if we maintained our form over the last 6 games for the entire season, we'd get 100 points and go up automatically. So it just goes to show that you don't have to win every single week. That's we're the second place team, only on goal difference to Norwich at the moment in the current form table. So played 6, won 4, drew 1, lost 1, 4-8 against 2. So delighted with that. Delighted for everybody down there. It's obviously put in a great deal of hard work. And in the case I forget to mention it, still with 3 centre halves out injured and 6 players out injured in total, which seems to be the norm.
Okay. Neil, your thoughts?
Well, I was bemused after that game, I have to admit. Walking away last night, sometimes you feel, you know, completely enthused. What a game and all the rest of it. I didn't get that last night. Were we good? I've seen us play better. I don't think we had to play that well last night because Blackburn just pressed the self-destruct button. And the last 4 games, I had a look just before when the game was playing out, they drew 0-0 against Southampton. They drew 0-0 against Middlesbrough. They only lost by 1-0 to Ipswich and beat Sunderland 5-1. And yeah, I watched the team kind of self-destruct on the field last night. And Dominic Higham... I can't believe I've seen a performance like that from a centre-back. And he kept him on at half-time and took off the other one, Wharton.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But we took our chances and it was enjoyable. It was nice to see Conway get a couple and Naki to get a couple.
Yeah, no, that's true. Mark, your thoughts? I heard you on Radio Bristol waxing lyrical in a positive vein.
Yeah, it was City were clinical, but like Neil said, we played well in short bursts. We have a lot more control in the first half where, I mean, Blackburn were suicidal in possession and defending. I mean, Dominic Higham, he's supposed to be, apparently he's a Scottish international or is a Scottish international according to Wikipedia. And also, Carl McFadzean, when he came on, was equally as bad. But I mean, Higham had, he was responsible for three of the five goals. City were clinical. For the first half of the second half, we weren't in control at all, but the substitutions made a huge difference. The ball stuck in the final third, and then we just finished them off. Yeah. I mean, the third, fourth, and fifth goals were brilliant. So still a little bit of work to be done in midfield. I think Scott Twine tired. Williams was outstanding. Roberts again showed his passing range. You know, great left-sided centre-back in a three. Or I think he could play left back. I think he could play left wing back. He could play in a lot of roles, but good passing range, good defending. I mean, Max could have worn an overcoat last night. He wasn't going to get troubled. They only had one shot from Smodix. I mean, he wouldn't know he was there. But yeah, it was a strange game, but City were clinical in bursts and 5-0. Plus four goal difference now as well.
I know
fourth best defence in the league as well. Still five better than Sunderland. I mean, the only teams above us: Leicester, Leeds, West Brom. Not a bad list to be in, is it?
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Ian, the injury play continues. What's the situation on? Because I'm looking at the squad and the bench was strong enough to a point. James, Cornick, King, Mometi, Wells. And it gets a bit weak with Bajic, Knight-Lebel and Mabude. They all got a game pretty much except Bajic and Mabude. But what's the situation with Taylor Garner-Hickman, Ian? Because is he out for an indefinite period?
He's not out for the season. He had a tight calf. And that, I think, is... firstly, you have to remember at the moment, the season's effectively over and we don't have to risk any player that... You don't want him going on there and tearing his bloody calf this time. So I think unless he's 100% right, you won't see him. You won't see him back. But my understanding is it's not serious. Same as Rob Dickey, it's not serious. But I don't think you'll see either of them against Huddersfield. But the following game is going to be probably our toughest one on the running, and that's away to Norwich.
Yeah.
But if we get the ball in behind their centre-backs, because Norwich are very good coming forward, and they thoroughly deserve to beat Ipswich the other week. I watched the whole game. But what I will say is Milk can turn quicker than their centre-backs. So if we can get the ball in behind them and down the channels, as per Campering's ball into Tommy for the first goal, then I think we've got a decent chance, and it should be. We should be quite relaxed, and it should be a really good game of football. Any pressure will be on Norwich. But no, the three players that are out to the end of the, you won't see before the end of the season, are Atkinson, Bell and Naismith. Eamon should be playing an under-21 game again, perhaps 60 minutes of it this time instead of 45. Taylor Gardner-Hickman and Rob Dickey have got the tight calves or slight calf injury, but not tears.
Okay. Neil, the lineup, Roberts, to me, Ian, somebody on the text feed has said, he's proven to be a bit of a find, probably why we signed him last summer. But, you know, that back three of Tanner, Viner and Roberts, they look pretty sound, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, defensively last night, I mean, they put Gallagher up against Roberts and Viner. Obviously, massive height difference there. And with Dickey not being there, they must have thought, OK, we'll get Gallagher in there. And he did try and sort of bully Roberts and Viner throughout the game. And he was a big physical presence down the centre. But other than that, I think when they're on the ground, he's got a piece about him, Roberts, doesn't he? you know, he obviously rates himself as a footballer. We saw that when he was saying, oh, I might have to go out on loan. He rates himself. He thinks of himself as a Premiership footballer. Yeah. He thinks of himself as somebody he should be playing. And when he's not playing, why?
Well, you want that attitude, though.
And he's kind of got that on the field a little bit, really. At times, a few months ago, he would be a little bit complacent at times and lose the ball a bit at times and all the rest of it. But he's got that air about him that actually, you know, I can do everything at my own pace and all the rest of it. And in a three, I think that can work at the back. I'm not so sure about him in a two.
No.
Which is what we found, obviously, at Sunderland. But in a three, he had a solid game last
night. It works well.
Yeah.
Mark, the shake-up in midfield of sorts, and instead of it being Knight and James, it was Williams and Knight. I thought Joe Williams put in a very, very good performance last night. He's out of contract in the summer. He brings more energy to that role than Matty James, who's also out of contract. Based on last night, who would you be, if might not say either of them, because we've got Max Bird to come in there, but based on last night, who would you be trying to keep at Ashton Gate next season, Williams or James?
I'd like to keep both of them, ideally, because I think you need the experience with James. Great in front of a defence and can pass the ball, can add the odd goal. Joe Williams, I mean, he's there to break up the play and free up Knight a little, you know, so that they could pivot. He's there to protect the defence. They did that really well last night, especially in the first half in the press. So I keep both of them on, but it just comes down to money. They'll be offered probably lesser deals than they came in. Both of them 3 years ago, especially with James. James will probably want 2 years. Are the club likely to offer that? I'd say no. My cousin actually told me that there was a story in the Lancashire Evening Telegraph last Saturday about Preston being interested in signing him. I didn't know he had played for Preston previously. It must have been many years ago. I think James, they'll want to retain both players. Apparently talks haven't started yet. They will do now. Just comes down to money. And I think with James, whether he accepts a one year deal and the money. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I mean, be interested next season, because of course you've got Max Bird coming into midfield. And of course he's played with Roberts before, as well as Knight at Derby, because Roberts was on loan there last season. So that would be an interesting development, wouldn't it?
Okay. Ian, I was coming to you next anyway. The point you were about to raise before I asked you the next question, but go on, far away.
Yeah. Well, what it depends on is who we can afford to bring in, plus Max Bird. We know Max Bird's coming in. We know we've got him. But it depends. It's all right, people saying, well, you know, you could let Matty James move on, or you could let Joe Williams move on. If you do, they have to be replaced. And it's not sufficient to say, well, we've signed Adam Murphy. We got Josh Stokes coming in. They're very much players for the future, and we'll see how they do. But if we haven't got money to invest unless we sell, and we don't sell, then we'll need to keep hold of both of them, in my opinion. Mark's quite right what he says about the money and the contracts. They won't be offered as much as they were last time. It'll be interesting to see. And I suppose, apparently, I understand both players want to stay. But they're professionals. So if they can earn a lot more money somewhere else, particularly if it's closer to home, then they might decide to do it. But I think that contract talks are ongoing. Nothing new on Tommy. So we'll just have to see. It's something that's going to make the summer very interesting. But the funding from the board will determine what we can and can't do. Wow. And I think that's why I've been nagging the board to either come on here or get on Radio Bristol and explain what's going on. Now, I don't think they'll do it while they're trying to flog season tickets, but in a way they should, because then it's their job to manage the fans' expectations. And you can only see by some of the comments we've got on here, and some of the comments I've read on social media, that people are more hopeful. Now, we know that'll change in the space of a couple of defeats. So I never take too much notice of that because people blow hot and they blow cold, especially the Moroccans. But I think we're it really depends on them to set the tone. If they say, well, they don't need to come out and say, we're spending a quintillion, we're going for it. But if they come out and say, well, we'd probably be able to do what we did last summer and add a couple of players without moving anybody out, we don't need to sell, but I think that would settle a lot of people down.
Well, if they put in more performances like they did last night between now and the end of the season, and I said on the last pod, we want five-star performances, and you said, we've got no right to expect anything, but we did it last night, and let's see if City can do that.
That's exactly it, Dave. But what I also said is we are injury-prone, and we are inconsistent, and that will continue. And if you look at the last two performances, that's borne out to be absolutely 100% true, isn't it?
Yeah,
bear in mind, this Neil cited Blackburn's results before they got here. Now, it may just have been that, as I said, we played well and they didn't. But that's happened to us plenty of times. And that's why we are where we are in Blackburn, are 3 points off the relegation zone.
Yeah.
With the Venkies having lost since taking over Blackburn, £327 million.
Yeah. Good for them.
Money, isn't it?
Neil, Ian says about players getting, and we're talking here about Williams and James in particular, players getting a better deal. It's a totally different football climate or financial climate now compared to when those contracts were handed out. And you can't say a top half championship side giving either of those a better contract than us because they'll be looking for better players. And therefore, if you look at bottom half championship sides, right, our wages, even our reduced wages, we're probably going to be top of the bottom half of that division in wages anyway. So we should, it's within our gift to make them stay. Although, as Ian says, both of them come from the north, want to return north. That's probably going to be the bigger pool, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the my view on it is that you're going to have to break a few eggs in the squad this to actually create the room in the squad. Because ultimately, if you look at our midfield options at the moment, yeah, we're going through some really good form at the moment. We're playing well at the moment. But we all remember those conversations we were having a couple of months ago. And realistically, what are we now? 49 goals for the season? 49 goals for the season? Still not enough.
Yeah, 49.
So still not enough. So for me, you've got to create room in the squad to bring new players in.
Okay.
And James and Williams, James in particular, has been a really good signing. It's tided us over that difficult period. But for me, I wouldn't be re-signing them. I think you've got to create scope for younger players to come into the squad and to make a difference and to be starting players. If you employ Williams and James, they're either holding a place for holding up somebody else.
You've got to bring in better than what you've got. Well, and better than what we've got does cost.
That's the key. Sorry to interrupt. That's the key factor. Better.
Yeah.
Right. If you're going to bring in a bloke who's about the same age and about the same, why bother? Because you might bring in a bloke who don't get on with anybody and he winds the rest of the squad up.
Yeah.
It's that better thing. And that's can we, I'll be a member of the Can Club here. Can we bring in better?
Better is a case of will they, which means spending money. As you said, let me bring Mark in now. Mark, and we're going to get into the action, obviously. Yesterday, first 20 minutes or so, well, the first 15 minutes, we looked pretty good. We restricted them to a couple of pot shots. As somebody said with our first goal, it came against a run of play, which I thought was a bit strange. We started well. And I thought I saw for the first time glimpses of what Scott Twine can bring to the club. But that was for the first half hour. He disappeared after that and was one of the three players taken off. We're talking about bringing in better than what we got. There were elements of his play that did remind me a little bit of Alex Scott. Yeah, and he looked good. He spoke very well on the pre-match presser as well. you know, Burnley obviously going to come down. You know, he's the sort of player that they might want to keep. But if he comes here, would you, based on everything you've seen so far, make him a marquee signing at a £4 million quid that they would probably want for him?
Well, he's not the marquee signing we signed because that was destroyed by his quad injury and missing 7 weeks of football. So to some extent, he's still playing himself into fitness. So he's not really as sharp as we want him to be. But in flashes, he's showing what he can do, intelligent, picks the ball up in the hole and makes things happen. That link player we are really looking for, who plays behind the front man, who will give the ball to Tommy or make things happen. You know, play the ball to the wingers, play the ball through the lines. So that's good. But I just think he faded in the game last night, and that's why he was substituted. But he didn't stop trying. He also made some tackles as well. So he doesn't shirk those responsibilities, because you defend from the front. You don't defend from the back. Defend from the front. Make it as difficult for teams to play out. So it's a difficult one because we haven't seen the best of him because of his injuries. So we're yet to be convinced there. But I think Liam Manning wants to keep him for continuity. And I think if the offer is right, for Burnley, we'll sign him. Because I think we will see a better player next season. But it's a bit of a difficult one because he's lost those 7 weeks to the quad injury. And that's affected him. But, you know, you convince fans, oh, it's a waste of money. But I think if we made maybe £2.5 million offer, I think Burnley might accept that. Would the club want to? It's a don't know. But I think Liam Manning will want to keep him.
OK, Ian, I'll come to you on this as well. We will get into going through the goals. Ian, you know, Liam Manning wants to keep him. £2.5 million, I don't think he'll get him. Then you've got wages that would make him probably the highest paid player at the club. And yet, a moment ago, we were talking about better. Yeah, there's lots of things to play there. But what's your view on Twine at the moment, Ian?
I like him. And is it a coincidence that when he started a game, we've never lost? Sometimes, Mamete benefited from all the work that Twine had done when he was on the field. So he comes on, he's fresh as a daisy. Their players are looking tired. They made four changes at half time, so they couldn't reinforce it and bring. Well, they could have brought on one more, I think, and brought on a fresh player. They probably didn't have anybody left who was going to particularly change the game on their bench. So, yes, I would like to sign him on what I've seen, not only here but what I saw at Hull. Because I think you've got to look at what he's done in the Championship. What he did at Newport or MK Dons or anywhere like that is by the by, really. But it shows he's got that ability. But once again, that's why I say it all really comes back to money. In terms of wages, he's not on massive wages at Burnley because they signed him from MK Dons and they got him quite cheap in the terms of what they're paying. And then it depends who Burnley have got in their team that they can hang on to when they come down. So they could have, he's got quite a few there on loan, so they can all go back. That gets rid of some of them. One of them, I think, is from Chelsea. So they won't be on buttons. So it's like you say, it's up in the air. But if we want to improve, we have to sign better players than what we got. And the other thing to look at is squad strength. You know, when we are fully fit, which we never are, but if fully fit and on form, we've got a top 10 squad. But with all the injuries all the time, particularly when they come in clusters, and it always seems to be the central midfield players or the central defenders. So that is something that we need to address. And we really do, if we can't stop the injuries, and I don't think we can, and I've been looking around at other clubs, and you hear it, Newcastle have had it, Man United haven't got a left-sided defender left in the club, and that's Man United, they're all injured.
So this thing about injuries, then, Ian, I think it's something that's increasing in the game, and whether that's
it's a real problem, and the only way you get around it is by having a bigger squad And then that is obviously going to put the wage bill up, unless you get real lucky and bring in a load of good young kids at once. And that's not, it'd be beautiful if it happened, but it's not likely, is it?
Okay.
So we need to be, and I'm not talking about 10 more outfield players, I'm talking about four more, probably.
I think we need 28 outfield players.
That's two for each position, plus six. And at any one time, if you've got six injured, that means you're left with two for every position.
But
we seem
as though we've got some good youngsters on there. I mean, jumping forward, it was really good to see.
Well, yeah, the under 18.
Jamie Knight-Labelle get 10 minutes. Let's get into the action. Neil, come to you for the first goal, which, you know, I mean, he loves that patch of turf on that left-hand side in front of Dolman. I mean, he was not dissimilar to the position he took when he scored against West Ham, or the run. But he likes running off the shoulder of that last defender. But what a cart horse Hyams was. And, you know, stubbed his clearance and finished with aplomb by Tommy, wasn't it?
I was really happy for Tommy last night. When he went through, how many one-on-ones during the season has Tommy missed? Mm. And he took that exceptionally well. Fair play to him last night in that regard. I think our press last night, I mean, we are one of the better teams in the division with the press, full stop. But Blackburn seemed to go onto that pitch and seemed surprised at our press, as in, like, they had no idea that we were actually going to implement something that we generally do very well, particularly at home. We just exerted pressure on them throughout the game, because it wasn't just Hyam with that back pass. There was the left back with the back pass for the Tommy one-on-one a bit later on as well. So there were multiple players in Blackburn's back four, which is why they went to a five at half time, that actually were just completely bedazzled by our press last night.
That's a strong word, bedazzled.
Bedazzled by our press last night. And I was like, have you not seen us play?
Yeah.
Are you not?
We were up against master tactician, John Eustace, whose last visit to Ashton Gate, when he brought his Birmingham City side there at the start of the season, and they played us off the pitch.
So that was all about pressure and what Tommy does very, 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 very well. Because he must do well, because, Christ, how many goals have we seen of a similar ilk this season with Tommy? Just putting that last player under pressure with a missed hit pass, West Ham being a good case in point. Really nicely taken, because that's the type of goal he's through, keeper saves, and we all go, oh, Tommy, another one missed.
But he didn't. He didn't. And Mark, 8 minutes later, it's 2-0. Hyams, that was, well, the referee, it was almost as though, I was saying that my friend Richard, who was with me last night, it was almost as though we were doing VAR in through the back door, because, my goodness, he looked very long and hard at Mark Sykes, that foul on Sykes, didn't he, before pointing to the spot. I mean, I haven't seen the replays of it yet, but clear penalty in your view, Mark?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hyam knew as soon as he did it. And both those goals came from great passes behind the defence from Cam Pring. I mean, he was closed down for the first one that he put behind Hyam, and Hyam did a Mavropanos, like West Ham, pressed by Tommy in a near post. And then the second one was around Cannon Britton, who previously played for Barnsley. You might remember him. He had the headband. I think he was trying to be like a Swedish tennis player from the 1970s. So Sykes is behind him, and Hyam comes across, sticks a leg across. Yeah, and the referee's like, you know, trying to remember, hang on a minute, was it? Yeah, it was a penalty, yeah. So he points to the spot, because Sykes, you watched the video, and Sykes is looking at him, he's going.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and times apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah.
There's a pause.
Very quickly, Mark. Sykes has got a massive reputation with refs, hasn't he?
For going down? Possibly.
Yeah, going down too easily. And I think the ref was like, he looked, oh, it's Mark Sykes.
Are you fibbing me, Mark Sykes? Did you dive? Are you doing a sack on me?
Or according to Sky, Tommy Conway got brought down for the penalty. Oh, yeah.
They do look like well,
Yeah, well, they thought Sky thought that it was Sam Allison refereeing the game, but they changed.
They did, but that was pretty easy to distinguish, I think.
I think I'd have spotted that.
They might have spotted.
Tommy's got his own little way of taking penalties.
Yeah, he does. He stops.
There's that little shuffle of the feet, and
it's a delay. So he waits for the keeper to see which way he's committing his weight and puts it in the other side. It makes perfect sense till he gets it wrong.
He's a brilliant penalty taker. I think he's the best penalty taker I've seen since Jet, and Jet did the Pogba before Pogba. Striding up, and just stroking it in.
A lot of power with minimal.
But he just sends the keeper the wrong way. I mean, it's as good as a goal. He's a great penalty taker. So that's 2-0, and it's over to you, Ian.
Ian, I mean, that was goal number 10 and 11 for Tommy. And I think how many of those are penalties? Is it 5 or 6 penalties in that total? Certainly 5, I think. Anyway, Tommy did his chances of getting a move in the summer, no harm with that brace. And, probably increased his value just by doing that. And he could quite easily get another 3 goals in the last 4 games of the season if he's given the chance. More of that later. Just picking up on a comment Alan Gwinnell made on here, and this does relate to Tommy, because is Tommy going to be a player at Ashton Gate next season? Probably not. And Alan, is Alan Gwinnell? Yeah, he said, what did I think of their number 9, Gallagher? Thought he had a good game, won everything in the air, always looked for the ball down the channels and powerful. I mean, Gallagher's been around a little bit. Is he that big lump up? Well, he's not a lump, actually. Is he that player up front that we could make do with? I mean, Neil's just showing me.
I wouldn't say so. I'd have to say we'd be disappointed. I'd be disappointed if we couldn't get better than that.
I prefer Duncan.
The best case, scenario with Tommy, I think, would be if he won't sign a new contract, if we could sell him and loan him back, that'd be dead handy. But then you have to say, if we bring in a 9, and my understanding is we will bring in a 9 even if Tommy signs. If we bring in a 9, where does Tommy play? Does he play one off him as a 10? He's done that before, and he's done it. He used to do it, believe it or not. He played behind Sam Bell as a 10 with Sam as a 9 in academy football. So we know he could do it. But yeah, going back to Mark Sykes, he has got a habit of going down too easy. And I think Scott Twine's got a little bit of that in him. Although with Scott Twine, it's a little bit, cleverer, a bit like Scotty used to do, you know, when he sticks his bum into the defender and falls over and a referee gives a push, that type of thing. With Sykes, it can be a bit too obvious, a bit blatant. So, stonewall penalty for the second goal for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so half time comes, Neil, and we're enjoying our Bovril. I saw that little clip of Grealish going on about. I didn't have Bovril, but I just sort of mentioned Grealish saying that's what he remembers about playing against us last season. But start of the second half, old Downsy had his work cut out, 4 substitutions to call out. I think he managed to get it just about right. But do you think words were had in the dressing room at halftime?
I think he'd lost his proverbial, I think, at the end of the day. But I mean, I didn't get the substitutions. Mm. I mean, the second half, which we'll obviously get into, for 20 minutes, nothing happened, did it? Mm. I had a look at the stats and it was like, no corners, no shots, no nothing. There was 2 teams to sort of, they were trying to find a way. They had more of the possession. They had something like about 70% of the possession, but not really hurting us in any way.
And then you're talking about the start of the second half.
Start of the second half for 20 minutes, nothing happened.
No, nothing. I mean, we did what we seem to do a lot under Manning, is just almost like bore the other team, because we just sit and they didn't threaten.
But then I thought to myself, I was sitting there and I was watching, I thought, God, there's not really that much happening at all in this game. And I had a look at the stats and all the rest of it and thought, this is bizarre. But then I thought, you know what, we're 2-0 up.
Yeah, and and we're playing on a Wednesday, not a Tuesday. So and why bust our gut?
It's for them to come at us to actually create. It's not for us. We're 2-0 up. And let's just play.
And the closest they came was that shot of Smolik's just after the substitutions when he just drove the ball wide.
Where Roberts did exceptionally well, I thought, to get across and actually force him wide on it. Yeah. But I had a look at the substitutions at half time and there were just some bizarre ones. I mean, taking off Dolan and bringing on McFazin, he went five at the back. And it was just like, was he thinking there, I just need some sort of damage limitation or something? I don't know, really. I mean, he didn't sort of chase the game with those substitutions. He took off, you know, they're attacking the threats. He took off McCarde and then brought on Buckley, and then he took off Dolan and brought on another centre-back. And
Moran, wasn't it? He looks about 10.
Yeah.
But their team, Blackburn, you always, because they're Brereton, Diaz and Ace, but they were, you know, I didn't recognise hardly any of the names in there.
Well, we had a look last night, Thomas and I, and Thomas will be back on the pod on Saturday. He's just working this week. But we had a look last night. Smolik's has got 24 goals.
Top scorer in the division.
The next highest scorer is Dolan with 5.
Yeah.
So if they're not a one-trick pony, if Smolik's isn't scoring for them, basically they're not scoring.
Yeah. What did you think of Sam Smolik's last night, Mark? I mean, you know, he was the player that was clubbing the bag, never given a fair crack of the whip down here.
I tried to remember back to when he was here. I mean, he was only here for 4 months because he was here from August 2019 to January 2020, and we loaned him to Peterborough then, and he was gone, wasn't he? Loaned to a permanent move. But he was supposed to be playing in a free behind Sam Gallagher, and he was dropping deeper and deeper so badly that I think in the second half he fouled George Tanner, and he was almost in the lower Lansdowne. He just disappeared off the pitch. So I mean, he was really, you know, he got the one good ball that they played through from that Moran. Through our defence, Roberts sent him down the side, and he couldn't get his foot round the ball. I think he's right footed, and he got his left foot to it and missed a goal completely. So yeah, I mean, they are a one man team in the defence, second worst in the division.
Yeah.
Poor goal scoring as well. But just very quickly about a player I'd like that we could be on our radar, and he's at a favourite Norwich, is Adam Ida, who's on loan at Celtic. Been coming on his sub. I think he scored. Came on against Rangers on Saturday. Powerful in the air. Not bad with his back to goal, as we've seen at Ashton Gate, to our detriment, because he scored in the last minute, didn't he, for them? 23 years old. He's still got some potential. Maybe that'll be worth a bid. I don't know. But he's not a bad championship player that could be in our price range. So that's somebody to keep an eye on.
Ian, start the second half. We said from 46 to 70 minutes. You know, it was incumbent upon Blackburn to take the game forward, and you know they're one of 8 clubs in that separated by 4 points at the bottom. They're in severe danger of going down if they put in a couple more performances like that. Yeah, but the substitutions when they came, they were well timed and they made the difference. Sykes, Twine, and Conway going off. Cornick, Mometi, and Wells coming on, yeah, the timing and, you know, at 2-0. Not the time to bring on Mabude at 2-0.
No, I mean, timing, I'd have done it 10 minutes earlier, but that's being picky. That was absolutely the epitome of perfect substitutions because they couldn't have been any more involved. Naki scored 2 goals. Mometi scored a goal and Cornick got an assist. So what's not to like? So I was very, very pleased with that. And it just goes to show what a difference it makes when you've got a stronger bench, because there were people that came on and that could affect the game, that did affect the game, and that you can't really ask for any more. In terms of the pressure Blackburn puts under. The only I was slightly concerned they might do us from a corner because their corners were coming in.
They had with a bit of venom. Didn't they? They had about three in a row. Yeah.
Well, they were coming in with a bit of venom, and I mean, when you look at a crowd scene in our penalty area, it really is a bit like Land of the Giants, isn't it? But in fairness, touching wood, we tend to defend them pretty well. If you saw Norwich the other night, they were 2-0 up at Sheffield Wednesday. By all accounts, cruising. Dropped off, let Sheffield Wednesday come at them, force some corners. Two big, loopy, in-swinging corners. And they've got a load of monsters in the penalty area. And they score two headers in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
To get themselves a point. We can't do that, particularly with Rob Dickey injured. But we have got a small team, however you look at it. But other teams seem to have a large selection of these monsters. They start with two or three, and they've got another three or four on the bench. So that was the only time I was slightly concerned, and I thought at 2-0, if they get one back, it's going to be squeaky bum time.
Of course.
But they didn't. And the timing of the substitutions, like I say, I'd have done it 10 minutes earlier, but fair play, got it spot on, got the players spot on. And there's not that many teams in the division who can, even the top ones, who can completely change their forward line and look every bit as good, if not better.
We talk about having a weak squad because looking at the injured players there, you know, you put Dickie...
Three centre-halves, Dave.
Yeah, well, Naismith, I don't think he's a centre-half, but Atkinson...
Well, he does.
He does, and he's the man...
He was in the player at
Championship team 2 years ago. Yeah,
as a centre-back.
All right, as a centre-back. All right, but those three, you know, I mean, well, looking at how they played last night, you know, how many of those would be definite starters? You know, there's competition for places. Mm. As we say, we cannot cope with... Well, we have to address the fact that there's always going to be injuries, as Ian's rightly said. Let's get on to goal number three. I thought goal number three was the best of the evening because it started, well, Robert set it up, but the pressure, the overload down that right, their right, our left, with Pring was there as well, and then Robert got the ball to Mometi. Mm. He's starting to repay the confidence shown in him by Liam Manning, isn't he? Yeah?
Well, I'll come to the ref here, actually. Mm. I thought the ref was really good last night.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought we had a really good game last night. And that third goal, it was an overhit pass. And it's our good friend, Mr. Higham, again, having an absolute stink.
On his ass, wasn't
on
he?
His ass.
On his ass. On his ass as the ball came through.
Again. But other refs, the Keith Strouds of this world, I think would have given a foul against Higham there.
I'm giving a pen?
No. Against him.
Oh,
no.
Sorry. Oh, foul on him.
Foul on him.
Benefiting the defender.
I think in that situation. But, yeah, I mean, as Ian has said, all of the, you know, the forward line came on, three goals and one assist from them. And that was, you know, just when we weren't really going anywhere. If we kept the same 11 on the pitch, I think we would have played out at 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't think anything. No. But those subs coming on, they gave us the added impetus and all the rest of it. That goal, the first ball in was overhit.
Mm.
And it was high ends every day of the week. Just clear it out. Just clear it out. Mm. And he's looked across, seen Mometi, thinks, oh, I can do it. And then he's, you know, bit of touch, fallen on his arse. Mm. And then he almost gave a penalty for a sort of a handball, I think. He almost tried to scramble it with his hand. But a good finish by Anis again.
Yeah.
It's good to see Anis scoring a few goals, actually. The belief in him, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all of us would say he hasn't had the greatest of seasons, all in all. But he's finishing strongly.
Here's Eddie. Here's Eddie the dog coming in. Mark, I'll let you talk about the that goal as well. And also McFadden. I mean, when you're bringing on McFadden to boost your defence, his days are well behind us, aren't they? Yes.
Well, he turned slower than a combine harvester, didn't he? I mean, like Neil said, it's 50-50 with Higham. Anis is down on the goal line. He has a bit of a 50-50 with him, and then beats him. Good feet from Anis. Higham's on his ass, but the way he just brushes past McFadden running across him. It's embarrassing. And in the opposite corner, Pear's got a hand to it, but it was too powerful. Sometimes I wonder if Anne is trying to caress the ball, but I think his shooting is improving, a lot. But it was embarrassing how easily he got into the area, because he's lost the ball countless times in that position. Getting into the penalty area on the left side, getting onto his right foot, gets tackled, or he'll get out four or something like that. Just brush past two players. Yeah. Eustace must have thought, what have I got myself into? And that was 3-0. Yeah. And that was 2 minutes after he came on.
Yeah. And then Ian, 5 minutes later, well, penalties are becoming like buses for us this season, aren't they? You know, and McFasden, I think Neil said to me before we went live, he looked like he was looking at his time on his watch, the way
I'm glad you came to me on that one, Dave, because my pet hate over recent weeks has been defenders not looking at the ball on set pieces when they're defending. All they're doing is grabbing hold of somebody. They've got not a clue where the ball is. And that was a classic example last night. All he could see was Viner. So he ran towards Viner, put his arms out, targeted Viner, but in doing so, he swung his right arm backwards, and punched the ball.
Yeah.
Then he's got the brass neck to look at the referee and go, "Well, what's that for?" Yeah. And there's four other blokes with him, all saying the same.
Yeah,
I mean, are they blind? He punched him. I mean, when you see the penalty that was given against, I think was it Rotherham that played West Ham last night? West Brom.
Yeah.
West Brom's shoe, the guy goes like this, right? He's outside the box. The ball misses his arms, hits him in the head, and the ref goes, penalty.
And he's 5 yards outside the box.
Yeah. How did the referee get that wrong?
I don't know.
Well,
it's when you see something like that you really want to have VAR in the championship, isn't it?
Yes, you do. The problem that you've got is this hugging and grabbing. I hate it. I detest
it. It's in wrestling. While we're talking about penalties,
I don't want to watch it. I really do not. And it's the same with Chowdhury the other week. That's a stonewall penalty. Because it's all right saying, well, Dickie had hold of him. He's got no choice. If I walk up to you and put my arms right round you like that, and I'm an inch away from your chest, the first thing you're going to do is go, get off, aren't you? It's obvious.
No, I think you might just trying to be friendly. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
you would, Mark. Yeah, I think you're highly suspect, Mark. I think you may fold in the witness box under questioning. I think.
What about talking about penalties? What about different game the other night, Arsenal Bayern Munich, when Gabriel Jesus picks the ball up in the penalty area?
It was Gabriel,
the defender.
You can't get your Gabriels mixed up, David.
Yeah,
Why aren't you talking about Naki Wells brilliantly?
Well, I'm coming on to that,
Dave.
Mark.
You know, stroke down the middle, Dave. What's going on?
I mean, totally different penalty taking technique to Tommy, wasn't it? You know, bang, straight down the middle.
Went in the net, though, didn't it? That doesn't matter. Yeah. Bang, get in the net. That'll do.
Mark, he brought on Andy King for Joe Williams, got a deserved round of applause when he came off.
Great.
And then, you know, you're 4-0 up, 85 minutes. You know you're going to get 10 minutes with time added on, 11, as it turned out to be last night, with 85 on the clock. Jamie Knight-Nobel came on, another player, getting a pathway, getting first-team action, another defender. Yeah, he didn't put a foot wrong,
I mean, a bit difficult to judge, you know, if he played as a wing back from a Crawley who faded badly in the second half. You've got to expect that after his injury, as we know. So yeah, he did okay. It wasn't really a lot to see, but can we talk about the final goal now?
Go on then. Yeah, stick with you, Mark.
So, I mean, Roberts' pass out of defence, terrific. So he plays it from the left side to right to Cornick. Cornick exchanges passes with Naki Wells on the edge of the area. Then he plays it across the box for the coup de grace, tapping it at the far post, 5-0. And there's all the paramedics are going around with smelling salts, people fainting everywhere, man in must stay t-shirts being printed at the printers. You know, it's so much to see. Fans are staying in droves. Oh, yeah. It's carnage out there, Dave. 5-0.
I was still there, actually. You know, I said I'm going to go when it's plus 4 minutes on the clock, and then I was still sitting there, and then we got that fifth goal, so I saw all five.
You were
of them.
Transfixed, Dave, weren't you?
I was running back.
You would be dazzled. You would be dazzled by City's play, wouldn't you?
I was not impressed with just Park. I did my parking app last night, and you know, if you've ever parked on those flats down by where the bus route is, you know, where the old Tenpin Bowling used to be, right? The picture to park there, you know, and I won't give away the number it was, but I ended up parking on a grass verge and took a picture. I'm going to ask for my £9.04.
I thought you'd have parked by Nelson Mandela House.
Just going back to the game. The what I really liked about that fifth goal was it actually went to Naki Wells, not Cornick, and he showed great control. And then laid it off to Cornick. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, you know, that shows that you don't have to be 8 foot tall to be a target, but yeah. The pass needs to be accurate and well struck rather than just booted. So, and I think that's another advantage that Roberts gives you if you're playing out from the back. And I agree with Neil completely that he's obviously better in a three than a four.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'm conscious of time today. It's a bit of a short one because some of them have got jobs to do or working today. Mark and myself, I've got a busy morning lined up. Huddersfield at home. Neil, I'll come to each of you just to finish. Start with Neil, then you, Ian, then you, Mark. But Neil, Huddersfield at home. They're battling away down there. I think they got beat at Preston the other night 4-1 when they were chasing the game. They've had an extra day.
Yeah.
Different proposition to Blackburn. Everybody said at least Blackburn tried to play football and took the game to us. They didn't sit in at all. Who's manager of Huddersfield? How do you think they're going to play?
Oh, blimey, that's a good question.
You don't know, do you? That's why I ask. I don't know. Anybody
know?
They
got an interim at the moment? After they got rid of
Odd news. I know they've been through a few up there, haven't they?
But what do you expect on Saturday, Neil, against the Terriers?
After last night, when I thought Blackburn, I thought that was going to be a tight game. So there we go. I've seen the highlights of their game against Preston. Mm. They folded as soon as Preston got on top. So I think their confidence is going to be a bit fragile. If we get ahead, if we apply ourselves, put that press in again, then I think we'll come out winners and quite comfortable winners. But
if
they've got any sense, they will sit deep and invite us on and deny us the space in behind, which is what Blackburn didn't do, if they've got any sense. But they might come there thinking, we need a win and we need to be progressive and we need to go out, and that'll play into our hands.
Yeah.
So I don't know that realistically the way Huddersfield, I mean, they're not very good.
No.
We know that.
Yeah.
So let's see what Saturday brings. But I think if we get ahead in the game and they have to come out, then I think it's a win for us.
Yeah. Mark, would you agree? Similar?
Yeah, their manager is a guy called Andre Breitenreiter. He's previously been a manager. I mean, he just rolls off the tongue. He managed Schalke 8 years ago. So he comes from the Bundesliga. They got him after they curtailed Neil Warnock's brief managership there, didn't they?
And Darren Moore.
Oh, yeah, they've had three managers this season. Yeah, they turned into Watford, aren't they? You know, change manager like their underwear.
I'm just looking at
this. Huddersfield have got to get the win. I mean, it was crazy that game the other night against Preston because that Osmajic scored a hat-trick in 8 minutes. It was 1-1 with 6 minutes to go.
Mm.
And he scored in the 84th, 87th and 92nd minute. Mm. So, you know, they just fell away. But I think they'll be better than Blackburn. I think they might play more pragmatic. I expect they play more pragmatically than Blackburn did because it is so close.
Looking at the table now, Mark, you know, from QPR in 16th with the goal difference of minus 14.
Well, Blackburn have got Leeds, Coventry and Leicester in their last four.
Blackburn have got four plus Birmingham. I'd love them to go down.
I don't care who goes down as long as Birmingham do. I'm not going
to
put
Well, they lost to Cardiff, which was a bit frustrating.
I'd love us to get 9 points. I think we can get 9 points from the last 12 because I think we might just get narrowly beaten at Norwich, but it'd be a minimum of seven. So minimum of seven, but I think we should get nine out of our last four.
Well,
so
one would hope.
You know, 66 points.
One would hope.
Why not? Why not be positive?
Yeah. Ian, Saturday against Huddersfield, you know, it would be nice to get that 60-point total for the first time in five seasons maybe. Perfect platform to do it. And to go to Norwich the following Saturday with freedom. I mean, Norwich still have to look over their shoulders to consolidate and get that sixth position. But are you agreeing with the rest of us that it should be 3 points, but in this division, you can never count on anything, can you?
In exactly that, Dave. In this division, you can't tell. One thing that we have done, we're hitting some milestones. We've now won 10 home games this season. The average for the lap since we've been promoted is 8, and the highest number since we've been back up in the Championship, since Cottrell brought us up, is 11. Mm. So that's something that we could better if we win our last two home games. And on paper, you're right, they're winnable. As things are going, over the season at home, we're the 9th best team in the division. Away, we're the 13th. And as we alluded to earlier, we've still got the 4th best defensive record, but unfortunately, to Neil's point, the 16th best attacking record. So you don't need to be Pep Guardiola to work out where the issue is. And that issue is being addressed. My understanding is we've got the targets. They are realistic, but it's a question of whether we can get them, and there's lots of slips between cup and lip that way. So that's a target I'd like to see us achieve. We've now won more home games than we have in the last four seasons.
More games
in total.
So match win 16. Yeah, that's the first.
Yeah,
time.
16. So it's been 15 for the last 3 years, three seasons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we've got an opportunity. I want to see the performances. Same as everybody else. I want to see the performances, and we've got to try and bring in that level of consistency, and providing we can keep a reasonable level of fitness through to the end of the season, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do it. And the pressure's completely off. You've only got to look at the sides below us, you know, and there's some big old clubs. I think we're doing better than could reasonably be expected. And I hope we continue to do that over the last three games now?
Well, hopefully. And if you look at those, last four games, if you look at those games, the three
four games,
two at home, two away, isn't it? Yeah. The two at home, you know, we want more performances like that that will boost season ticket sales. Because when you come away from a 5-0 win, you forget about some of the rubbish you've seen beforehand, and everything's looking good. But look, it's time for us to end the podcast. Thanks to the 250 or so of you that have been watching this live. Thanks to everybody who listens to us on various podcast platform. We'll be recording the Huddersfield podcast at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, so join us for that one. But in the meantime, all that remains to be said is, come on, you Reds!
Really, I ain't got a thing. Cheers all. Bye-bye. I always feel happy as a king when the red robin comes bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robins are bobbing along.
red, red robin come bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.